Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. Mm-hmm. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep. And I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
The Bachelor.
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues and
Dark Seeker.
This is Dark Seeker.
Special guest, Dark Seeker. It's not a lot that we have all three of us on the pod together.
I know, I love it.
Here we are.
Whole fam.
Down deep in the bottom of the pit, swimming around in the darkest waters. And we have a very interesting episode today. We're going to be answering some questions that Dark Seeker has painstakingly gone through all submissions, found the best ones, and we are going to answer them here for you now. But before we do that, I need to make a little announcement. My DMs are open.
Okay.
For anyone who might want to be coached for the next season of Bachelor. Ooh. We're talking about season 28. Casting is underway now. If you're in the casting process and you want some help navigating it, hit me up. If you know anybody who is in the casting process currently and needs some help navigating it and getting through the show, wants strategies, etc., hit me up. Anybody who's interested at all, hit me up. Send me a DM and make sure your Instagram is not private. It's got to be a public Instagram. And then we can take it from there.
And also, I would say this. Don't message Game of Roses. I won't be any help. Go directly to Bachelor Clues because I get a bunch of those.
Please DM me directly. And also, I will say this. I'm happy to coach anybody that I believe can make a deep run and that I believe I can help. What I want to do is coach somebody who wants to go in basically playing a character. And at the end of the season, at the Women Tell All, or the After the Final Rose, however far you make it, essentially look into the camera and say, it was a bit. I was playing a character. This is pro wrestling. None of this is real. That's what I'm really hoping for. and what I would like somebody to be able to do. So,
wow. So DMs are open for bit players or serious players. Are we hearing that correctly?
That is correct. I will coach you even if you don't want to do that strategy, but that's my preference. I really want to coach somebody who's down to do that.
He's looking for a big old troll.
Not a troll. Somebody to expose the game for being a game. To go into it and say, I played the game at the highest level and I did it using this strategy.
But you know they're going to cut it out. They're going to cut it out.
Then you put it on your social media. Put it on when you go on podcasts.
Okay.
I'm just looking for somebody who wants to, at the end of their season of play, expose the fact that it was a coached season, that this was all just to see how far you could get in the game and you got very far. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
That's what I'm hopeful to find.
My DMs are not open. I will let you know if they ever become open. For anything.
Oh, fantastic.
Pace Case is closed. Clues is open.
But I love you all.
All right. Well, that concludes all of our business and our well wishes and love wishes for all people involved here, I suppose. But now let's get into this. So here we go. We're just going to answer these questions. Dark Seeker again has prepared these for us. Thank you, Dark Seeker.
Of course.
Let's begin.
All right. First question. How much money would you pay for naming rights for the first Trizzy baby?
That's an amazing question.
Yeah, it's very interesting because it there's another question implied in it, which is what would you name Trizzy's baby?
Right. It's a two-parter.
The money is almost immaterial.
I'm going to say the money is not immaterial for me. I would say I would pay $200.
What?
Because it would be a gift for Clues.
Aww.
They're billionaires. You understand that, I assume.
Well, I'm just saying that's my limit.
You would have to come at them with, I believe, a Trizzy trillion. That's the only type of money that's going
to... The question is not what a deal do you think they'd agree to? It's what would you pay?
Right. How much?
Okay. Yeah, sure. I mean, what would I pay? Max. I'd probably pay $5,000 for that.
Oh my God.
Okay. Let's set it up.
And then what would I name the child? Probably Sleucian Protocol.
Probably Sleucian Protocol.
Sleucian Protocol, Trout Pruitt.
I would name it Bachelor Clues.
Regardless of gender, too. Just Bachelor Clues.
This is our baby Bachelor Clues.
Regardless of gender, it's Bachelor Clues. You know, it would be an homage. You know, like naming a star.
Oh.
That's pretty cool.
That's so sweet.
An homage to our friendship.
Thank you. I sincerely appreciate that.
Should we name the toilet brush?
I mean,
did you guys not name it? What the hell?
No, we didn't name the toilet brush. I don't even know if they used it. I don't know if they got it. I never received a thank you letter or any acknowledgement that they even have it in their new home or homes.
I'm going to say worth the shade.
Love it.
Okay. Yeah. No, I get it. Like, I get it.
I get it.
Like shit, but worth the wait.
Yeah, I got it.
I was on the spot with
no, you, dude, Lizzie, you fucking nailed it. Okay,
worth the shade.
Yeah, exactly.
There's probably a better one. I know.
Worth the shade.
Worth okay. The...
I think we've successfully answered this question.
So you would Sleucian Protocol,
yeah.
Pruitt Trout,
or maybe Hannah Sluss Pruitt Trout, something like that.
5K. All right. Hey, just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Next question.
They did this in Vanderpump Rules where the characters bet a pickleball game to name the firstborn child.
Are you? Did it like plan out that way?
And then he lost.
Damn.
And then his wife was pissed. But then that guy got kind of me too'd, so it didn't really matter anyway.
Mm.
Anyway.
Next question. My boyfriend doesn't watch The Bachelor. Should I break up with him?
I mean, I know my answer to this.
I know my answer. Should we say it on the count of three?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3.
No.
What?
No, you should not break up with the boyfriend. You should drag your boyfriend into the pit. You should make him watch The Bachelor. You should change his life forever, enhance it, enrich it. By giving him the gift of not only The Bachelor, but of being able to watch it through the lens of the pit with this higher level of understanding of what our beloved game truly is, what it really means in terms of American pop culture and American culture at large, just how important it is to the reality that we all live in. Drag this man into the pit. What are you waiting for?
It's not a problem. It's an opportunity.
Ooh, I love that. You should be like a life coach.
I agree.
Feature, not a bug. No, I just think, why would that be a deal breaker? I feel like your deal breaker should be massive.
It should be, my boyfriend listens to Bachelor Happy Hour unironically. Should I break up with him?
Oh, that's a harder one. Jesus.
Unironically.
I feel like that's also a possible opportunity to drag somebody into the pit. Really, I think no matter who you're dating, no matter what they're watching or listening to, ironically or unironically, drag them into the pit. It's always that opportunity.
No, I would say there's probably some interests which wouldn't align.
Hmm.
Like?
No matter what they're watching clues?
No matter what.
Who knows what's out there?
Yeah, a lot of media.
Oh, geez.
What?
Next question.
All right.
Next. Pass.
Is there anything you guys would bring back to the franchise from the earlier eras?
Oh, God.
The mole.
Yeah, the mole is a good
one. Season 7, they had a mole. It's time to bring it back. I know they never would because it's 4TWR, but...
It was so entertaining.
I would love that. I mean, they're doing like a joke version of it with Undercover Brother, but...
Yeah, that falls very flat.
It's not the same.
They're going to expose him on night one if guys don't immediately know that he's fake from the beginning.
Probably halfway through the cocktail party.
Yeah.
He's wearing a synthetic wig that shines. Like, of course.
I do like that it's a night one curveball, though. Yeah. I do like the night one curveball.
I mean, they're at least trying. But I mean, you know what I would really actually like? I think there is something beautiful in the original structure of the first three seasons, what we call the classic era, where you had, after night one, the next episode was three group dates that consisted of five players apiece, and they were all great group dates. You got to go to Vegas. You got to go to a spa. You got to go on a yacht. There Yes. were no forced violence and forced nudity. All of these group dates were really things that were very fun. They were like extravagant, the things that you may not get the opportunity to do unless you're on the show. And the fact that they were...
And everyone had the same chance with the lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was 5, 5, and 5. So you didn't have in episode 2, a one-on-one and two group dates, or a group date and 2 one-on-ones. You didn't have that yet. It was everybody goes on a group date, then it gets bumped up to one-on-ones in the next episode. I would potentially go back to that format. I also, there is a soft spot in my heart for season 4, Bob Guinea, the precursor basically to the group date rose, when they had the white roses. Do you remember this?
The white roses? Oh. You liked that. Interesting.
I did like it. The white roses were on a group date with five players. Dark Lord Harrison shows up with a little platter that has four white roses on it. And if you get one of those roses, you are safe on the group date. You still have to go to the rose ceremony that week,
right?
But you're safe on that group date. If you don't get a white rose, you're eliminated from the group date. So it's no longer like how it is now. There's one group date rose that makes you safe from everything. That's not how that was. It was, if you don't get a rose on the group date, you go home immediately. I kind of liked that because there was a tension on that group date that was like, fuck, one of us is getting eliminated.
Right.
That no longer exists in the contemporary game. It's one of us is going to get this group date rose, but we all might still get roses at the rose ceremony. There was a bit of like heightened pressure that no longer exists on the group date.
So what you're saying is you wouldn't bring back the portrait room that they had to stand in.
The portrait room?
The deliberation room?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. They still have that, by the way.
What?
They just no longer show it. Yeah, you still have to go to a deliberation room and talk to producers.
But do they have the weird pictures of the girls and it looks like they all died?
Because they're not shooting it, there are no more framed photos of them. Now I believe the Bachelor and Bachelorette are just handed like pieces of paper with their faces printed out and names and stuff on it.
Oh, okay.
And they say like, kind of order these. Who do you like? Who do you not like? I did, in some cases, like the video messages that players would leave for the leads. Some of those were kind of funny and fun.
Interesting.
It was like the last ditch effort.
Yeah. I think that could be interesting now.
I liked back during season 7 when people had fun with the host and they would lift their Dark Lord.
And give him a noogie.
Yeah. Charlie O'Connell. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's interesting from that. You know, Brad Womack's second season, season 15 of The Bachelor, they had his, in quotes, therapist come on the show.
Oh, my
And give
gosh.
Out advice to him. In the course of the show, I don't know if that was his real therapist. I don't know if it was like a producer. But, you know, things like that I think are interesting where they...
Yes, they should have therapists for everyone. expand it even farther and let us watch.
Yeah.
Make the therapist sleep with them in the bunk beds. Crowd the rooms up even yeah. more.
The therapist should be a player. I don't know. There are little things, little bits and baubles from the long road of history in our beloved game that, yeah, I would like to see done again, perhaps done slightly differently. But for me, those white roses are definitely a part of it. I agree with you, Pace Case. The mole, got to see that in a real way. In a real way. Not like what they're about to do on charity season.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. Those were great baubles.
Yeah.
I was just literally when he said that, I was like, did he just say bits and baubles?
Okay. Some bits and baubles.
Hey, do you know what the phrase vim and vigor means?
I know what vigor is.
Vim and vigor. It's like a phrase and it means like with energy, like enthusiastically or whatever. And they said it on Succession and we were trying to debate whether that was a real phrase that people used.
Is it?
I think it's a generation. I think it's like, it's...
Yes.
Oh, clues confirmed.
It's a kind of a, you know, a 1900s saying.
Yeah. And you're saying bits and baubles is like that?
Just curious.
You're now equating me to somebody who was around in 1900?
That was an unrelated thought.
Was it? I think it came directly after me saying bits and baubles.
I bet clues still says stuff like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and stuff like that. For sure. Yeah.
Huzzah. Things like that. Listen, I can't be held responsible for whatever phrases go into my mind. I read a lot of things. I watch a lot of media.
I like them.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Twixt.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Sand twixt toes. That's one of my favorite Clues-isms.
Betwixt. That was essentially a Nathaniel Hawthorne reference, the author of The Scarlet Letter, among other things. But he was a big fan of the phrase betwixt.
Cool.
I learned about the Scarlet Letter from Gabby's appearance this season.
Okay.
She said she felt like she had a red A.
Yeah. Great novel. Obviously a historic work.
If The Bachelor ended, what would happen to the podcast? Rebrand? Game of Pods? Question mark?
I mean, I think no matter what happens to The Bachelor, it will always be an integral part of what we do because it is the foundation of really all modern dating reality television. None of it exists without The Bachelor. So I think there's always going to be reference to it no matter what. If it ended, yeah, we would certainly obviously continue covering Love is Blind and right. all the other shows that are kind of forwarding the genre at this point.
This was probably the most asked question, by the way. Just yeah. like, what would happen?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're podcasting forever.
Yeah. I just don't, like, reality dating television's not ever going away. Period. Maybe The Bachelor does eventually stop. I just can't imagine that though, because it's going to make so much money for somebody. Maybe it's not going to be it'll always be Warner Brothers because they own it, but maybe it's not going to be ABC anymore. Maybe it goes to streaming. Maybe it's like slightly diminished in terms of its budget. That's what's happening now to it. But I don't really ever see it going away. But
maybe they start selling the baby name right for $5,000 yeah. a pop.
That's probably what will wind up happening.
That's a fantastic idea. This is how we're going to fund the show now.
Yeah. In that theoretical scenario that it would end, I think we just keep going on as we're doing now. There's always going to be, I mean, how many seasons of Love is Blind are going to be out per year now? Two, I think. I think they're going to roughly be on the exact same schedule as Bachelor, and then they have a perfect match. So we would at least have a game in season to kind of be recapping constantly. And it will always be referencing The Bachelor. Always. Because that's where it all started.
Yeah. Queer Ultimatum. We are going to cover together at least the first couple episodes. Yeah.
Wednesday.
And Clues will cover all of them.
So yeah, tune into that. But I mean, even that, there's going to be Bachelor references in it. All the things, the little terminologies that we've come up with and stuff, PTCs and all of it, hoojus, all that stuff. All those things apply to all these other games.
I do think, though, there is a very, like, special, like, let's say The Bachelor did go away. I mean, I think this person and a lot of people are asking, like, would you become, like, an exclusively Love is Blind podcast, you know?
No.
I think Bachelor is what brings us all together. It's what you guys do best. And, yeah, I think that's, they just want to make sure that that same, like, chemistry will be there. And I can confirm that, like, if you guys haven't seen Clues Corner or Pace Case Palapa, like, it's still there. Like, a
chemistry confirmation.
Yes, chemistry confirmation right here. I still laugh my ass off. Like, it's honestly, some of it is even better than Bachelor, dare I say.
And I will say this too.
I opened the Patreon today to an image that made me full of vim and vigor, let's say.
Oh.
It was a horrifying kind of image of Bob Guinea and a dolphin and them swimming together like a movie poster. And it was a beautiful, beautiful Clues.
Thank you.
Original AI art piece.
Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you.
Also, just say this, if The Bachelor ever gets canceled, it will be back. Look at like what happened to American Idol. Interest waned, the show got bad, and then they brought it back 5 or 6 years later. The same will definitely hit. The Bachelor is too successful for it to go away forever. I think it's too successful for it to ever go away, but if it does, it will only be temporary. That's a guarantee.
I don't think it'll go away.
All right.
Might go to Freevee or whatever, but
but hey. Next question. Could the term protected player please be the new PP in the lexicon? I miss you guys saying PP so much.
Interesting. This is a PP protected player. Yeah, I could see that. I'll do that. Fuck it. I don't care.
Lizzie? What are your thoughts?
I don't think I can do it.
Oh.
We've come to a fork in the road.
I think I've retired PP.
I think I kind of have too, honestly. This is a peepee. This is a peepee.
Honestly, it's just like
she's a peepee.
You know, Popeye, Sweet Nums, the whole fam. I gotta retire peepee just out of my lexicon.
Yeah, out of respect.
So respectful, respectful queen.
Out of respect. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll agree. I'll agree. I'll side with Lizzie on this.
I'm sorry. I know that's probably not what they wanted.
I mean, and again, they said I miss you guys saying peepee so much. In all caps.
I miss saying it. I miss saying it. But I will say this. One of the things that has happened as a result of doing this show is that we have gotten to meet some of these players, some of these high level people like Peter Weber, like Sweet Nums, like Jet and Jack. They came to the disastrous original book signing at the Grove and were like marching around in a caravan with people as security guards were forcing us to go this way and that way.
There were some baby chairs in there
and
strollers.
You know, when we interviewed Peter Weber, he asked us specifically to not call him that. I feel like we have to respect that.
There's
just something that happens like at a certain point when you're talking to these people and the nature of kind of the parasocial relationship is like you see a little bit more about like who they are as people. They're not just this character that is being presented to you, however they're being presented by the show, as an asshole or a dipshit or whatever. And you're like, oh no, this is just a real person who got like edited to look some way.
Right.
And we all feel a certain type of way about that edit. But then when you really talk to them and you're like, ah, shit, you know, you feel kind of bad about it.
I would say I haven't met anyone where I was like, oh, they were worse than their edit.
Same, same.
I totally agree.
Every person we've talked to has been fantastic in person. Just fucking great. Like a real nice, sweet person who is like happy to talk about as much as they can about the experience without, you know, generating some kind of ire from the producers.
No, for real. I have yet to meet a like mean or standoffish person in Bachelor Nation, obviously knock on wood, but like everybody I've met either in person or over Zoom, so nice, so kind. I feel they're genuine. So totally agree. I get it.
We'll try to, we'll find something else. We'll find a new PP.
That would be a good baby name too. Genuine and real.
Oh, that would be. Genuine and real Trizzy Trout Pruitt.
I think it's also the way you guys said it, like when Clues would be like, no, sometimes Lizzie would just be like reporting on something that Peter Weber did and Clues would just come in and go pee, and I think that's honestly what people liked so much is just different inflections.
Okay, well, the joy.
I can promise you I can very easily do that. I just got to smoke a little weed before we do our first recap of Charity Lawson season. You'll have some weird shit. I can guarantee that.
Don't worry about it. He's on it.
Don't sweat this. We'll figure it out. Yeah. What actually...
Dream granted.
What actually was the most dramatic season ever in you guys' opinion?
Oh god.
Caitlin Bristow.
Yeah, I was maybe gonna say the same thing. That Nick Vielle shit when he came in, crashed the season, had sex pre-fantasy suite.
No, not Nick Vielle. I meant the man who passed away.
What?
The other guy?
one of the players on her season.
That was Andy Dorfman.
Oh, okay. Andy Dorfman.
Yeah. You're talking about, I forget that guy's name, the guy who died in the parasailing accident.
Cliff.
Yeah.
I think.
And they had to come in. Vial was in that. It was Andy Dorfman, her final three, were all told that this guy died, and they put down the camera and the whole crew came out of the shadows to hug each other. And
Eric shit. Hill.
Yeah. That was on Andy's season.
Yeah. I don't know. That one felt.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't remember it that well, but that was, to me, the craziest thing.
Up to that point, though, it was like kind of a standard season.
What about Ari?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The ending of Ari's season, I remember watching that live. Like, I was waiting so eagerly for that double shot of both of them, the unedited 20-minute conversation.
Mesny is a good one, too. He did the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. There was a lot that, like, in Caitlin Bristow's season, I remember there was, like, it was astounding that Nick Vial crashed the whole season and then had sex with her pre-fantasy suites. Then there was all the slut shaming that happened as a result. And they talked about that to some degree after the final rose. There was a lot of drama in that season, I felt like, too.
Not to mention that I ruined her season whenever I posted the Snapchat of her and Sean Booth and sent it to Reality Steve. And if you look up my name and Caitlin Bristow, you will see in Time Magazine, Us Weekly, People, Grace Ann Parks spoils season with Snapchat of Caitlin Bristow and Sean Booth.
Wow. So you contributed to the drama. I think the correct answer, though, is gotta be Bachelorette 16 or Bachelor 25. We've never seen anything like that in either of those seasons. Bachelorette 16, of course, is Claire Crawley ending the season in episode 4 to leave with Dale Moss, prompting them to bring in Tayshia Adams to salvage the rest of the season by dating Claire Crawley's dregs. And then you had season 25, obviously, Matt James' first Black Bachelor that had multitudes of dramatic things happening all throughout
25
it.
25 might take the cake.
Let's not even forget. Put all this stuff about Chris Harrison being racist and doing the interview and getting fired. Put all that shit aside.
Didn't forget.
Rachel Kirkconnell almost fucking died in that season in a parachuting accident. Mm. Do you remember that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, the forums loved that.
God, I was deep in the skydiving. The
forums are all over it. The paragliding, skydiving forums.
Yeah, the guy that was on her back, the instructor that was strapped to her back, fucking broke his leg in like three places on that.
And Rachel has now gone on to a couple podcasts, and like when people ask her about it kind of jokingly, she like gets like visibly upset. Aww. And she's like, I actually was hurt and they had to put makeup on my bruises. Like, it was very scary.
Like, her face was all fucked up from it.
And then they just don't let her talk about how hurt she is.
I know.
That's what they fucking do.
I know.
Look.
They had another accident, Bree Springs on the ATV.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The real accident.
But people get fucking hurt on this show and they just don't let them talk about it. That's part of it. People have been concussed. People have had to have surgery to repair injuries from the tackle football games in very recent seasons, and they just don't let you talk about it.
Well, you know, they signed up for it and I don't
Is
know.
Is that Nick Vial?
Yeah.
This file's coming in.
I'm trying to figure out who you're doing.
Yeah, see? It's like a 30s gangster.
This must be what it's like when someone watches me do an impression. Gangster, 20s gangster.
Yeah, yeah, I think, for me, it's probably season 25.
Oh, you know, okay.
Bachelor 25. That shit was dramatic as hell. Just in terms of the scope of it, what it represented in the history of the show, what a miserable failure that season was in many, many ways. How they fucking treated Matt James when they had his estranged dad come in. All of it. Like, all of it. To me, probably the most dramatic.
The vibrator limo entrance.
I mean, you bringing up the dad, that reminds me of, like, what he wrote about in his book about that. And it just makes me blood red mad. Anyways, next question. This one is just for Pace Case. Clues you are not allowed to answer this question. This was made very clear in this question.
Clues is not allowed.
He is not allowed.
I will refrain.
This question comes with rules.
Exactly.
Good luck.
So, and I know this is actually going to be hard for you, Clues. So, Pace Case. How would you personally feel if Nick Vial were to ever come on this podcast, or if he invited you guys on his?
I would be very excited for Bachelor Clues.
But how would, so that would be the main feeling? Nothing else? Nothing like?
Yeah, I would say it would be wonderful for Clues to meet his great one, you know, his football boy, if you will, sportsman.
My football boy?
You know. What do you call him? Football baby? Oh, football baby.
Yeah, that's Tom Brady.
Football bitch baby, right?
You're Tom Brady?
Football baby.
Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. Mm. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of Me Undies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with Me Undies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my, which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist-recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Okay, and next question. Remember, Clues, no more input. This is the end of that question.
Oh, it's a two-parter that I can't answer?
It's a two-parter, too.
No.
Okay.
I'm saying, like, we're going to the next question. Don't let anything slip right now as I'm transitioning.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not.
what happened to your TV show? When is it coming?
Which one? See what I did there?
What TV show?
We've got several. We're actively working on trying to get some of this shit made. You know, we're taking as many meetings as we can. It's...
Can you give us an update?
And the scripted stuff is on pause for the WGA strike.
Yeah, I mean, no scripted stuff can be developed or pitched or talked about, but we're still trying to work some of our reality shows into the mix. There's nothing at this time to report, but, you know, as soon as there is, if there ever is, we will obviously announce it here first.
Yeah, I would just say, just know that, like, it's just because you guys talked about it a while ago doesn't mean that it's gone forever. Like, the nature of reality TV and TV in general, what I've learned from you guys is, like, it's slow. There's a lot of, like, sure. Yeah, so.
You're always pushing a rock up a hill. As long as you have a project and an idea and you can find somebody who wants to listen to you pitch it or talk about it, there's always a possibility it gets bought or made, blah, blah, blah. Some projects take decades, literally, to get made or to get bought.
Wasn't that, like, Avatar? Like, didn't that one take, like, literally a decade or something?
We are coming out with our own Avatar.
Oh.
Grace Ann, that was a secret.
Fuck. I'm so sorry, guys.
I didn't know about that. Shit.
It's all AI, but there's a lot of things different.
But everybody's green.
You made fun of me, both of you did, before we started this recording, saying he will for sure bring up AI, blah, blah, blah. And Lizzie, you brought it up, not me. You did. You were the one who said it, not me. I'm just putting that on the record. I had nothing to do with it.
That wasn't the bet.
Dude, Clues is so animated right now, y'all. Like, he just jumped out of his seat.
I know. Now I'm like, wait, you were waiting for me to bring up AI all episode?
I wasn't waiting for it at all. You just did it.
Oh, dude, you literally just, like, out of your seat when she said it. Like, you catapulted.
Well, I was very surprised. Sorry.
I mean, it's Avatar. It's very similar.
Yeah.
That's AI, right?
No.
All right. I really like this next question because I don't even know the answer. If the main game is the regular season / playoffs of the NFL, what is Bachelor in Paradise?
All-star. All-star game.
Oh. Okay. That was easy.
Or the slam dunk competition.
Well, the slam dunk competition opens the All-Star game in the NBA. It's like the home run competition that opens the All-Star game of baseball.
They're part of the same event?
No, the slam dunk competition takes place like the day before. The NBA All-Star game is like a multiple day thing. So is the Major League Baseball All-Star game.
It's more than one game?
One game, but they have multiple events. Like the NBA All-Star weekend usually has multiple things that, like, different players come and are doing things and interviews with ESPN and all this kind of stuff. And the slam dunk competition happens the day before the game takes place. Just as in baseball.
You learn something new every day.
Sounds like a different event.
It is, but it's part of the All-Star weekend. It's part of the big All-Star thing, you know?
Okay.
And then Listen to Your Heart is the Puppy Bowl.
That's my favorite bowl. So,
okay,
you know?
Sure.
It's cute.
It is. It's very cute. And now they have adoptable puppies that people can adopt. They just call the number on the TV. Mm. Very cute.
Listen to Your Heart's more like the G League. I'll just leave that there.
I don't know.
I take the... Yeah. Hmm.
Do I want to ask? I feel like I don't.
It's just like a minor league kind of basketball league.
It's a micro league.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like AAA baseball. Mm. Yeah.
What is the best line when approaching someone from Bachelor Nation? Because I see them all the time.
Wow. Where does this person live? Either Los Angeles, New York, or Nashville?
Probably LA. Yeah.
I mean,
it depends on the player.
Yeah. Totally depends on the player.
Depends on where you are. You say howdy if you're a slider.
Let's say you're
aloha.
What?
Every single time you just say aloha to them.
I would say you go with aloha. It works for a lot of scenarios.
And isn't it also hello and goodbye? Aloha?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Perfect.
I think it completely depends on the player. If this is a player from the classic era, somebody who has never gotten like the mass attention that they deserve because they were in the game before social media, I think you go right up to them and you say, I absolutely loved you on season whatever of The Bachelor. And you say something very specific about what they did, and it will let them know like, holy shit, this person really knows their shit. They watched my season. This is amazing. They'll take pictures with you, sign autographs, whatever you want.
That's a really good answer.
That is a very good answer. And actually, I don't know if you remember this, Clues, but when I went to my first like Bachelor event, like for Gore alone in New York City, I almost bailed because I was so nervous. And one of the tips that you gave me was, obviously you were like, just look at it like a job. And the second one was, you know who's going to be there, like brush up on some of like their specific plays, go up to them. And again, not just butter them up, but be specific. And it worked. Like, I still have like relationships with some of those people. And it, so actually, yeah, that's, I've used your advice and it just worked. So
totally. I think they get all the time like, oh, you're on The Bachelor. I love Bachelor. That's so awesome. A very generic compliment means nothing to them. But if you say specifically like, in episode 7,
most total roses, most kisses.
Raven, when you did that entire thing where you faked like you had an orgasm and skipped around Finland playing with dogs.
That changed my life.
I have never seen better fake orgasm acting in my life. Say something like that.
Trust me, I've seen a lot of fake orgasm acting.
These are the best pickup lines ever. Don't even go with anything else.
I'm not even saying it's a pickup line.
Say them to people who aren't even on it.
But I think if you do go in with something very specific, maybe even something that connotes an understanding of the game and how it's constructed.
Yeah.
Like, I know when you were in that episode, I know, like, you know, it was shitty what those producers did to you, Madison Pruitt, when they had you and Peter Weber out there getting bit by flies the whole time. Like, why did they put you out there with all those flies to have your final conversation?
Or just use a Bible verse if you meet Maddie. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Here's what you say. $5,000.
I've got $5,000 to name your first baby. Yes or no?
I'll name your child. I couldn't even get it out. Yeah. But you don't even, you can't say yeah. No. To any of the names.
I'm not going
to
tell you what the name is. Just tell me yes or no, $5,000 right now.
Or I'll give you two options and you can pick between them.
And she's like, I'm a billionaire now. I don't think I need $5,000. I don't know why she now has a Texas accent, but yeah, that is my best advice. Go in with something very specific about their season, what you liked about it, and how they are inspirational to you in one way or another.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like that's good advice for anyone that you recognize in general.
Yeah.
I agree. And again, I would also, if you're ever just like have social anxiety like myself and get nervous, honestly, look at it like a job. It totally flips the switch for me. When Clues told me that, it was one of the most helpful things he has ever told me.
Oh, wow.
And it helped me. I know, right?
When I was 15, I interned at UPN. And they had a like media event at the end that was like this big party. And I saw Chris Rock there and I was like, I gotta get a picture with Chris Rock. And I just was like, hey, can I take a picture with you? And I just took it. And he looks very surprised. And then my boss apologized for me, but I have that picture.
I gotta see that picture. Please send me that picture.
That is amazing. That is,
I'll send you the picture.
That sounds hilarious.
That is hilarious.
But I'm so glad I did.
Yeah. Yes.
I wish I had maybe been a little cooler about it, but
I loved you in Grown Ups too.
I loved when you slapped that guy.
That guy slapped him though.
That guy. Like that's what Sean Booth, whenever he talks about Nick.
I loved when you got slapped.
Yeah, that you've got that backwards. It was Will Smith that did the slapping.
In 20 years, you're going to get slapped by Will Smith. That's what I should have said.
Yeah, exactly.
What are some of the long-term goals you guys have for Gore?
You want me to answer this? You looking at me, Lizzie, like you want me to answer? I'll tell you this. This is one long-term goal.
No, I'm just thinking. This is my thinking face.
I want to expand it into a television network. Ultimately, its final form is a television network that covers all of reality television in the same way ESPN covers sports. I don't know if we ever get there, but that is a goal I'm constantly trying to achieve with varying degrees of effort, depending on how many other projects I've got going on. But certainly that is the long-term goal. In the interim, I would like to have a scenario where we have multiple different podcasts under the Game of Roses kind of network title. As you know, we're trying to do one with Courtney Roberts, and that rebrand is coming very soon.
Yes, a lot of questions about that.
Yes, the rebrand.
And we're putting a lot of work into it because I feel like it's good. I think it's going to be a very good podcast after this rebrand, much more in line with what Courtney wants to do. And I think it's going to be fantastic. And we're just like learning a massive amount about how to help someone else produce their podcast. And so, I think that's kind of like our first step toward expanding this in a way that kind of keeps what we do as the anchor of it and then have a bunch of other shows kind of around it. And that's really the next step, kind of interim goal on our way to creating the ESPN of reality television, hopefully.
Gotcha. All right. Let's see.
Ditto.
Ditto. What is your most embarrassing moment from middle school?
From middle school? Jesus. Embarrassing?
I know. This was such a... Yeah. There's got to be some good stories.
I don't know. I don't know if I've like suffered true embarrassment before.
Ditto.
Chad.
I kind of don't like give a shit about things. You know what I mean? In any real way.
No, I don't know what you mean at all.
I've always been kind of a nihilist at heart, I think, even as a child.
That's good, I guess.
Do you give a shit about us?
No, I mean in terms of like personal embarrassment. I've done dumb shit and looked stupid and all that kind of stuff. Everybody has, obviously. I just don't like get embarrassed by it, I guess, because I find like, I think it's kind of funny too, you know, like in some way.
Yeah. Middle school is hard to remember.
Yeah, it truly is. Yeah.
I mean, so I have a high school one, but like middle school.
God, middle school.
I have things that I'm embarrassed now that I did in middle school. Does that count?
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Just some pranks.
Oh?
Okay. We're listening.
I'm listening.
I
What's going on the other side of this Zoom here? What's going on?
I need this.
No, just like, you know, there were some leaves, some sticky leaves around, putting them on people's backs, like kind of being a little prankster.
Oh, you know what? I'll give you one. I wasn't embarrassed. This was a moment where I was fucking furious. To this day, this guy is one of my best friends. His name is Josh Thorpe. Hello, Josh, if you're listening.
Thorpe.
We watched The Bachelor with him once.
Yeah, he came over once. I think so, yeah. This man sat behind me in 7th or 8th grade Texas history, whatever it was. And I don't know what fucking fueled him to do this. He had a kneaded dough eraser. If you know what these are like, they're like gum erasers. You can kind of like, they're almost like silly putty type. And they always made you buy them for art class for some reason. So he had one of these and he like smashed it into my fucking hair to such a degree that it had to be cut from my head. And I just had a big chunk of fucking hair missing. And I was like walking around with just like a chunk of my hair out.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And I was like, why did you fucking do that? He's like, I don't know, dude.
I know someone who got their hair caught in a mixer once and it was the same result. Making cookies.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't know.
Dang. No, I feel like, yeah. I'm sure there was a lot.
Yeah, it's hard to middle. That's why I picked that question, because it was so like, if you knew it, you knew it because you were like, oh, that happened in middle school. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I would say everyone seemed like they were suffering in middle school.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I remember one time this other friend, we were like, we're going to be vandals. So we got bars of soap. Bars of soap. This was how hardcore we were as vandals. We took bars of like Dial soap and we went around at midnight. I was spending the night at his house or whatever. I think it was even on Halloween potentially. And we went around and drew pentagrams on like people's car windows.
Oh my gosh.
With bars of soap though. That literally it would take like 5 seconds to just like put water on it and it disappears.
How old were you?
Whatever, 12 or something.
You knew what I didn't even know what. Dude, my mom covered my eyes during the Can You Feel the Love Tonight Lion King scene, and you were making pentagrams in soap?
Yeah, and then we were waiting to hear the next day, and one kid did show up, and he was like, dude, Satanist got my mom's car last night. You know those Satanists that use soap to fucking put their pentagrams on your car?
I mean, I don't know. I think I would be so scared if there was a pentagram on my house.
Me too.
And I definitely wouldn't think a child did it. I think that's why. I would be like, some adult did this.
But it wasn't like, I mean, in retrospect, it's hilarious to me that we thought that was in any way like doing hardcore vandalism, you know? We were like, yeah, we're fucking badass now. Soap.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We used.
I threw water balloons across a street, and we threw them at cars.
Oh, damn.
And then the police came and chased us.
Oh my God, you literally ran from cops?
I guess this is before middle school, maybe.
Yeah. Lizzie's an actual badass.
I had an episode where I had to run from police when I was probably 36 or 7.
Whoa.
Street art?
35. Yeah, street art. I was up on a building putting up a...
pentagrams?
No. This was a thing that was two chimpanzee heads facing each other in the middle of it. It says, none of this is real. And I was pasting this giant thing. It was maybe like a 10-foot long... kind of like wide poster. I was pasting it on the corner of Robertson and Wilshire, a busy corner out here in Los Angeles, if you know where that is.
Vandal for life.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it wound up, me doing street art. But I was pasting this thing and my friend who was supposed to be doing lookout, I don't know where the fuck he was, but a Josh. Light comes up from the ground, hits me in the face. It wasn't Josh, another friend. A light comes from the bottom of the street and hits me in the face. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I look down. It's a cop car shining their light, like literally up on me. And I'm like, oh, I'm fucked. Oh. But they turn. They go right north on Robertson and kind of like pull over. And the cops start getting out of the car. And I'm like, fuck it. I run back around the building. It had this kind of lip that I was standing on. And I jump off of it like action movie style, literally like half a story, fall down to the ground, do a dive roll and then sprint off into the surrounding neighborhood and like crouch down in somebody's driveway behind an SUV for 15 minutes.
That is a spry 37.
Yeah.
I ain't doing that shit no more. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I could do that now.
Yeah. This was pre knee surgery and all that shit, but it was fun. And I never got caught.
Was that what caused the knee surgery?
No, that was racquetball.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow.
So there you go. I don't know if any of that is embarrassing per se, but
I think we've covered it. I think we hit something.
That's where the story went.
Yeah. Here's something.
Let's see. Oh, so I got to ask Clues this question when I did a Q&A with just him when you were gone, Lizzie. But I am interested to hear your answer. What were your first impressions of each other? Did you become friends right away? We obviously know you guys met in the Bad Judge writing room. But like, Lizzie, what was your first impression of Chad?
Well, I had read one of Chad's books in preparation for working on the show. So I was expecting a much different person. And then, I don't know, just like the guy who made the show. And he had like a really fun friendship with our other friend, Amy. And I loved watching them like kind of scream across the table at each other.
Oh, so Amy kind of like helped it a little bit of you kind of imagining like, oh, I want to be his friend.
I don't have a memory of being like, I want to be Chad's friend.
Yeah. Does anybody have that memory of anybody?
Now that's a person I'd want to be a friend
yes.
of.
Yes. Haven't you ever had friend crushes?
Catherine told me that she met me and wanted to be my friend.
Oh, damn. Nice.
Yeah. But I don't remember even meeting when I meet anyone.
Oh.
So I don't remember meeting Chad. But
I think the first time I met you was the first day of the Bad Judge writer's room.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, probably. Skaboolian.
Somebody just entered the do you baby.
Skaboolian enters the chat. Oh.
Oh.
Clues is massaging the cat, and the cat's eyes are softening like in heaven.
He loved it.
Cute.
He loved it.
All right, only a few more questions left.
All right.
Let's see. Did Clues ever crunch the data he collected from the movie Cats?
Crunch it. Yeah, I crunched it, I synthesized it, I lived it, I breathed it, I am it. That movie, I truly believe this, is the most important movie made in the modern era of film.
Okay, stop. You're just being an edgelord.
No, I'm not. It's the death of film.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, 100%.
I believe the last kind of important era of movies as art started with The Room, which came out, I believe, in 2001, 2002, maybe. Tommy Wiseau's movie, The Room. You know this movie?
Yes. Yeah.
It was a failure.
I was busy getting chased by the popo.
Oh. It was a failure at every level, and yet it is beloved because it's so bad that it's funny. And it's bad in ways that are funny only because we, as a movie-going audience at this point, understand what it should be. We understand what a dramatic movie is like. We understand what a dialogue scene should be. We understand what the three-act structure is. And this movie breaks all those rules and does so in ways that are exactly the opposite of what it, in quotes, should be. Our understanding of that structure and what a movie should be as an audience is at such a high level that when we see something like The Room, it's immediately funny to us and we can enjoy the failure of the movie as art itself, as comedic art. That then opens up for us a 20-year period, roughly until Cats, where we are starting to collect these movies that become these giant, big budget flops that studios make. And in many cases, studios make them in attempts to get Oscars and shit. Naomi Watts has a couple of these movies. I can't fucking remember their names. But these movies were starting to come out. And you would see like lists on AV Club and Rotten Tomatoes every year. The worst movies list would come out. And it would be pleasurable to watch these movies because they were so bad they became funny. Cats is the culmination of that. It is the pinnacle of that. You will never get anything worse than that for a cast that good and that much money and special effects in every fucking shot. Just the biggest swing imaginable. Everybody in that movie thought they were going to win an Oscar and it was a fucking train wreck top to bottom. And I think that is it. That is the end of movies as art. When you have a giant studio backing this, that musical has been around for how long? 30 years or something? 50 years? And everybody's been trying to make a movie out of it. And here it finally gets done. And it's a failure at every level. Laughably bad. Strange even. Even beyond laughably bad.
like bizarre to a level you almost can't comprehend. If you have not seen Cats, the movie, I highly recommend seeing it.
I haven't.
There's a scene in it, for example, where Rebel Wilson plays this cat that is wearing a little like outfit, wearing clothes. And then at a certain point, she unzips her her own skin, basically, and peels it off to reveal a nude cat under the cat that was wearing clothes. Then she begins to eat cockroaches that are dancing and singing. It makes no sense.
That's hilarious.
So, I think once we got to that point, it was like, okay, all bets are off. Now, all we're going to see is essentially Marvel movies and Star Wars movies, the big IP franchise, kind of like blockbuster tentpole movies. And you're going to see these smaller movies become less and less important, which I believe they have. Can you tell me what won Best Picture last year?
Everyone all at once.
That's right. Everything everywhere all at once. What won the year before?
Coda.
Isn't this Sound of Water?
No.
What?
Coda?
I don't remember. I don't know. I was just asking. I was curious. But even Everything Everywhere All at Once, they
How was Taylor in Cats?
Yeah, how was Taylor?
She's only in one scene. The critique of her thing was kind of like she had unnecessarily big boobs, bigger boobs than all the other cats for some reason. There are a bunch of weird things that are done with the computer animation of it. There's rumored to be a butthole cut where they actually put CGI buttholes on the cats. And people were for a long time hashtag release the butthole cut.
Dude, the H3 podcast talked about that when it happened. Yeah. And like it was like I'm almost positive it was like legit confirmed that like they had to go through the movie and take out all the buttholes. Also,
I didn't think they were buttholes. I thought they were cakes.
Nice.
For those of you not aware, that's in reference to Howie Mandel's TikTok.
Thank you.
That was good, Lizzie.
Look it up.
Also, I just found this is definitely going to be the clip for TikTok and Reels. You're talking about Cats.
Yeah, for sure. See it. Like I said, I think it truly is the final movie, the kind of death of movies, really. The death of like that type of movie anyway, where a big budget studio is like, we're going to get this time-honored musical, fucking fill it with A-list actors.
No, but what you're saying is like actually like making sense, because you're right about The Room. Like even to this day, I see people like kids on TikTok making, you know, memes out of like, oh, hi, Mark. Like they're like teens. And that movie is still like timeless in a way because it's so bad that it's good.
Right. But even like getting to a point as a film watching audience or as an audience that understands the art of movies, getting to a point where our vocabulary is big enough and complex enough to understand why that is bad and why it being bad in that way is now funny to us. That movie made like, let's say in the 80s, would have just been nothing. People would have seen it and been like, what the fuck is this? I don't get it, and move on. Mm-hmm. But because it was made in 2000, after we have the internet for a little while, after meme culture is starting to percolate, after we're starting to understand there's like comedy in people fucking up art, especially art like movies, which at the time, I mean, that movie supposedly cost Tommy Wiseau $8 million to make. Movies are not cheap. So it means people are funneling massive amounts of money, time, and resource into making these giant pieces of art. And then they fail on these levels that are like, to most people, just like fundamentally, that should never be in a movie. Or like, why are they saying this that way? Or why is that happening? And Cats is that on the fucking millionth level. It's just staggering in how bizarrely bad it is.
Well, I honestly think that's the perfect place to end.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess that's it. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. Thank you, Dark Seeker.
Thank you for all of your questions. Some really good ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thank you, Dark Seeker, for joining us on the pod today.
Of course.
And thank you to everyone who is going to get the paperback of How to Win the Bachelor. A giant piece of art.
Yes, available now. That's right. Which fails on no level and succeeds on all levels. And once again, if you are curious about getting into the game, if you're in the casting process in the game right now for Bachelor Season 28, DM me. I am here to help.
A spot opened in the schedule, coaching schedule.
A lot of different things can happen when you're coaching people, when you're coaching players. And I've found out that the trouble with sometimes coaching players for a long time is they get in relationships and they can't go on The Bachelor. It just happens.
A nightmare.
You know? No. I obviously wish them...
They find love?
Yeah, they find love. Exactly. No, I wish them all well, and that's the name of the game anyway.
But they need to focus.
I got a little bit of time and a little bit of space open for some potential other players. So if anybody out there is interested, hit me up with that DM. Let me know. And until next time, before we go, as always, what is that dwab at?
It's been 7,729 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then